Hi, I'm Jo Allen. I'm a holistic health teacher and founder of The Humble Warrior based in St. Leonard's-on-Sea.
Hello, I'm Heidi Rickson, and I'm a Reiki healer, teacher, and sound healer.
Welcome to Resonant Space. So we were just having a think about how, well, why we started this podcast, really, weren't we? Just a bit of a, yeah, what's the reason?
Why are we doing this?
Yeah, and then that makes me think back to how we kind of, well, I suppose how it happened, like how we came up with the concept.
Mm.
Do you remember where we were?
Yeah. Wasn't that long ago.
I know it wasn't. So yeah, we were just having a lovely walk, weren't we, through some fields in Pet.
Yes.
Yeah, which was really interesting because I think I'd lived there for about 6 months by then and I hadn't really explored the area. And you said to me, surely you go walking around those lovely fields. I was like, no, I don't at all. So yeah, we went on a lovely walk and then we just came up with the ideas, didn't we?
Absolutely.
Mm. So it was in nature. And I think that's kind of a grounding sort of force behind it, isn't it? We both kind of connected over our love of nature.
Mm-hmm.
And what that really meant in our lives at the time and how that's, I mean, has nature brought us to our practices or has our practices brought us to nature? I'm not sure.
Could be both.
What was your thoughts when we were sort of chatting?
Well, I think I was just thinking, hey, someone new to show around and, oh, I could show her this walk and that walk. And that always gets me really enthusiastic. And then anyone that's interested in any kind of energy / wellness, holistic treatments, that's always nice to be able to talk to someone about that. But I'm also always interested in your origin story. How did you get to this place? I find it fascinating.
And that's what we were chatting about, weren't we? It was like, how did you get into this? And then I think what I sort of discovered was it was really interesting, the journey of, let's say, I guess, not unawareness, but, you know, sort of definitely less awareness, and how, you know, the journey had gone for me into being more aware of what's happening. So, yeah, I think we were talking about how we got into, you know, energy healing, sound healing, movement, all the different bits and bobs that we do. And I just thought, yeah, I thought it was really interesting kind of thinking back, because I suppose I don't do it that often, think back to when I used to work in London fashion and how, I don't know if the word is unaware I was of everything or other ways of being or acting or feeling, or, you know, just more, there was more to it. And I just had no idea. And I think just my journey of getting there, I was like, oh. And then I think also the way that I will explain things to people and they're like, I didn't know that, or I had no idea about that, or that people should know that. You know, people always go, well, this is interesting. It's never, they never dismiss it as nonsense, if you know what I mean. Even people that are maybe back in my old world, less aware, never go, oh, shut up, that's absolute nonsense. They're always like, oh, wow, that's really funny. You know, they find it interesting. They want to know more. And I was like, well, why is that so hard to find unless you're really going on a spiritual journey? You know, unless you're really making the effort and changing everything that you do, which not everyone can do. You know, how do we make it accessible to people that are, you know, doing a 9-to-5 and are really stressed out and burnt out, you know? You know, some people can't go on a gap year and go and find themselves. Not that I did that, I'd love to do that. But, you know, it can sometimes take that. But I am lucky enough that I will go and do a training for a month, you know, in a different philosophy of yoga or a different style of healing or whatever it is. So I can immerse myself and really get to the root of it. Whereas a lot of people, no one else really has that time. So yeah, I think for me, a kind of podcast is that kind of bite-sized thing of, oh, that's interesting. And if, I suppose if it kind of resonates with people, then they can delve into it and sort of research it and learn more about it.
So you were thinking along the lines of introducing ideas to people in a way that they can easily access?
Yeah, and understand maybe. Because it can be quite... my words are not coming to say, but like woo-woo is not the best. But you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It can be a bit like people just go, oh, that's a bit woo-woo. Whereas when I explain things to people, I like to... You're even deeper than me, but I like to have a scientific explanation behind it. Mm-hmm. I like to have examples of where it's worked. Definitely for me. And if that's not kind of enough, where it's worked for other people. So that I base it in fact.
Mm.
So it's not necessarily, it's not woo-woo. Because a lot of it can be. You can kind of, I think you can go to some sessions and it's like, oh, we're, I don't know, praising this divine goddess and la la la. And then, you know, if you're not into that sort of thing, it doesn't maybe resonate with you on a level of reality and practicality.
Yeah, it can turn people off.
Yeah. And I do see people say, you know, they don't want to, you know, they like yoga, but they don't want all that spiritual stuff.
Mm.
Fair enough. That's absolutely fair enough. If people don't want that, probably don't want to come to my class then. Because that's what excites me about it. You know, that's what interests me more than, well, way more than learning to stand on your head. I think, you know, the benefits of that for me are physiological and you know, in your brain space. Mm-hmm. But it's not for me a physical challenge to stand on my head. So, you know, if that's, I suppose, if that's your goal within a yoga session, there are other teachers out there.
Mm.
Whereas, yeah, mine would be more about what does that, you know, if you are upside down, what does that mean for your energy levels? Which chakras are we working on? You know, what kind of facets of, you know, like I say, mentally are we working on? Are we working on resilience? Are we working on overcoming obstacles? You know, it's things like that rather than, yay, I stood on my head.
So giving your practice real life applicabilities rather than just being a physical feat.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. And I think people, yeah, so how do you reach that point, isn't it? Like, that's what I mean about, you know, my journey has been my journey because my life got turned upside down and I needed to find another way.
Mm.
So that's, you know, for me, the best thing that could have happened to me, because I was, you know, wouldn't say lucky, because what happened to me wasn't lucky, but the
outcome.
The outcome meant that I've been on this journey. So yeah, I think that's, for me, that is essentially why a podcast. It's like, how can people access this without having to have their life turned upside down and go on this crazy journey? But yeah.
I think for me, I've actually wanted to do some kind of podcasty type of thing. But initially it was more for exploring this beautiful countryside that I'm so fortunate to live in and talk about why I love it so much, how it's changed my life, and of course the science behind how it can do that, et cetera, et cetera, and also real life effects of being out in nature, not just saying it's good for you. That doesn't really say much. So what I want to know is, what is it about what you do or what you believe that you really get excited about, that you just light up and just go on and on and on?
Yes. It's all of it, because I think, because it's my choice now, so I wouldn't do it if it didn't, if I didn't enjoy it. And if I'm not enjoying something, I will just stop. But what I really love is the, it's kind of the change in people when they do these practices. So from like walking into a room and no one's ever necessarily in a bad mood, or, you know, no one's ever giving off terrible energy, but they might be a bit tired, or they might be a bit drained, or, you know, and then to the end where they're just like, oh, that was amazing. I really needed that. And just like, yeah, that kind of, whatever's happened in the middle, it's like, you know, the inner alchemy has changed, their brainwave patterns changed, their mindset has changed, and it's something that they needed, and that's why they were there, because, you know, they knew they needed it, they didn't know exactly what, and I guess it's my responsibility, trying to think of the right words today, because I was going to say job then, and I was like, it's not a job. So it's my sort of responsibility to create that journey to get people from, yes, a bit stressed, bit tired, a bit, you know, to, ah, oh, now I feel better. And then they can go off and do their own little thing. But that's what I really like. Yeah, and I think that can happen in an hour, you know, but then if you do long, so work, this is why I really love workshops, because there's longer to kind of work with different energy levels and different, you know, what people need. And then if it's a whole day, it's even better, because then I get to kind of put in connection in that as well. So people kind of connect to other people. Actually, that happens in my women's circles as well, because we do sharing. Mm. So there's that. I like, what I really love is when people share and people connect with each other. And there's a support network there that's just created. Like I said, even if it's for an hour, right, hour and a half, 3 hours, a whole day. You know, sometimes after like a whole day, or even, I mean, definitely like a weekend, people will go off with friendships. You know, they'll have set, you know, they'll have swapped numbers, and, you know, and that's really lovely, because that's kind of just extending their connection to like-minded people. And I think that's tricky in this society, is to find those like-minded people as well. Mm. Because, yeah, like the people, say, you work with, you may have nothing in common with apart from your job, you know, and the people, your family, yeah, you're all going to have completely different outlooks and, you know, beliefs and whatever interests. And then you find your friends somehow through, I don't know, school or job, and they, you know, you have shared interests. But then I suppose with this inner work and that kind of like, you know, taking it to a different level, yeah, it's really lovely to see connections forming within that, and maybe like support networks and things. So yeah, I really love that. That really like makes me happy. If people go off and they're like, oh, we should meet up. And I'm like, oh, yay. They've made friends. Because I think it can be lonely, especially I do meet a lot of people in my sessions that have either moved to the area and they don't know anyone or something. So yeah, even like, I think they feel that, you know, even for that group session, they feel a connection.
Mm.
And maybe that's enough, or maybe they take it a bit further. But I think that's really lovely as well. That's why I think, you know, doing things in person versus an online, you know, Zoom thing is a completely different ballgame. Or doing like a pre-recorded something is fine if you haven't got the time to go anywhere. But there is nothing that beats that connection of people in a room sharing energy.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that I really like that.
But if, so someone, if someone came up to you, say, afterwards.
Yeah.
And wanted to ask you some questions. Is there anything in particular that you would actually preface by saying, oh, I could talk all day about this?
I could talk all day about everything.
No, I mean, not like different things, just one particular.
I get really fired up about how, finding the words, get really fired up about society's treatment of women in lots of different areas, historically up and now. Yes, and that's a lot of my research, I think, is into kind of, just this inherent kind of misogyny that is in our society, whether it's by the patriarchy or other women, whether we sort of beat each other up, and that's coming from kind of internalized misogyny, where we beat ourselves up by the same, you know, by the stick that we've been given, we beat ourselves up in the same way. And I just get really passionate about, I suppose, the labels that have been placed on us all, and just getting underneath those labels, like, do we want them? Do we want these labels? Are they helping us? Are they serving us? Or are they keeping us locked in a kind of cage of what we should be doing and all that sort of thing? So, yes, I think when it comes down to kind of, you know, every session that I do is about self-inquiry and asking, are we happy? You know, what do we want? Could our lives be better? What do we need? What do we need to ask for? Where should we use our voice more? Where do we need to create our boundaries? And for me, recently, definitely, it all comes from an angle of the woman, because, I mean, I suppose that's my experience. Mm. So, you know, it'd be weird to focus on it from a man's point of view, but...
You never know. It might be a good exercise.
This is true. This is very true, actually. Because, no, but also, because patriarchy isn't men versus women. It's, from my point of view, and from... absorbing what I've been kind of researching, it's a masculine energy. So women can be as patriarchal as men if they've got that masculine energy. So you're right. It's I definitely need to see it from there. Because also they, under the patriarchy, men get a raw deal as well, because it's like, you should be this, you should be the breadwinner, you should be strong and have giant muscles. Like, I'm not saying that they don't have a raw deal, but we all do, essentially, because we're listening to this overarching masculine energy telling us how we should be. And then we beat ourselves up because we're not like it. So, you know, it's kind of, yeah. So that, I think, is something that I get passionate about. I don't even really know what that comes under.
Well, it doesn't need a label.
Oh, there you go. Get rid of the label.
That's right.
But yes, it's about, yeah, no, that's it. It's about breaking it down. And going underneath and, something I've been talking about recently is the stories we tell ourselves. Like, I am this, I can't do this, this is me, you know, these stories. And it's like, where's that story come from? Is that my story or is that someone else's story? Have I just clung onto that story and turned it into my identity? And actually, you know, it's just, it's about asking questions about all these layers. And going, where's that come from? Is it me? Where's it come from? Does it actually help me? Is this a story that I want? Or is this the story? Is this the story I'm choosing? Or is this the story I've just decided that I've been given and this is it? So I think as long as we kind of come from at everything from a place of awareness and understanding of who we are really at the centre and what we really want, then it's fine. That story might be exactly what we want. I might want to be, I don't know, a mother, a teacher, you know, whatever it is, but it's my story and I've chosen it rather than it's just been given to me. But yeah, so that's, I find that interesting.
How do you know the difference
between a label and what's true?
Mm.
I think you've, with self-inquiry, with stopping listening to everyone else's opinions, the noise around that, social media, because social media would tell us, you know, to be happy and perfect, you need to be this. And that is subconsciously in our minds all the time, whether we like it or not. And I've had conversations, in fact, with my girlfriends this weekend about some really awful things they said about themselves. And I just went, why are you saying that? And they're like, oh, no, you know, and then they sort of justify why they're saying these horrendous things about themselves. And I'm like,
you need, do they post on social media or something?
No, but I think it's just come from a pressure that they see, like, maybe it's, I think if I say this, I'll say an example and make it a bit vague.
Cause I don't okay. want,
but like, so my friend who's is going wants to go away, and she was just like, I want to wear a bikini and have a flat tummy. So she's like, so now she's on the crazy diet, and I was like, why? We're in mid-40s. I mean, I'm never gonna have a flat tummy. Why do you want a flat tummy? Why do you want to look like a prepubescent 20-year-old? And it's because, you know, and the justification is, oh, it's for me, it's for, so I can feel better, so I can look good. And it, I mean, maybe, but where has that image come from? Where has that, and it's come from, yes, barrage of social media. Oh, I'm happy, I'm on the beach, look at my flat stomach. You know, these celebrities that haven't eaten for decades, and, you know, are they mentally happy? Let's not even go there on this particular, because, you know, looking great does not mean you're happy. That's a problem. That's what we're told. You know, we're conditioned that if I look a certain way, if I act a certain way, if I fit a mould, then I'll be happy. And that's just not how it works, is it? Anyway, so then it's, but then it's internalised and it's subconscious and it's, I must do this to look, be happy and feel great. And I just find it really destructive. I find it, you know, just a damaging thing. So I'm just like, I was like, if that's what you really want and it's what makes you happy, but ask yourself where that comes from. That even just that phrase, I want a flat tummy. Why? What's so good about, you know, I went on and on and on, and I probably like, you know, she probably like, just shut up and let me eat my rabita. But I'm like, but it's fine. Like, you know, the want to be healthy, have good nutrition, be strong, all of that, amazing. But it's where it comes from. Does it come from a place of being good to yourself or come from a place of punishing yourself? And that's, you know, it's breaking, I think, for me, like really going into that root and going, where's it come from? And if you're happy with all the answers, crack on. Do whatever you want to do. But yeah, I think, yeah.
But once you're able to identify, say you identify where it came from. This comes from fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Do people just see that and then it just evaporates and is gone?
I think it depends on, it's an awareness then though, isn't it? It's a choice, I think. Because I see it a lot. I see a breakthrough with, like, through maybe a deep meditation or something where we've talked about a topic, whatever it is. And I kind of see, and then we have a discussion after. So say we share our thoughts or whatever's come up. And I hear it with people's feedback of saying, oh, why do I allow this to happen? Why do I put myself last? Or, you know, I'm just using any example. I think, why do I agree to everything even though it's going to make me exhausted? Why do I do it? Because it's a natural response. We've been conditioned to do it. It's a habit. It's a response. And unless you question that, it's always going to be a habit and a response. I, you know, when I was very much a sort of people pleaser, that's my natural tendency, is to be a people pleaser. And if you speak to, you know, my therapist, it comes from childhood, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's just a habit that's formed. Everything forms from the want and need to be loved. And, you know, it's basically, you know, to get what we need in infancy, we learn sort of a set of this. I'm really explaining this from research that I've been listening to, so I'm not an expert on this. But what I've been researching is, you know, we develop a set of habits from infancy. So how to get our needs met? Essentially, everything comes from that. So when you're a baby, how do I get my needs met? And my needs met when you're a baby is to be fed, to be warm, have your nappy changed. You know, it's very simple. But it's, if I cry, this happens. You know, and it's just a set of learnings and habits that happen to get your needs met. And then that becomes more complex as you get older through your toddler phase. You know, you'll be like, to get my needs met, I can have a really big tantrum. You know, and then you just, that happens. And then when you're a bit older, you're getting your needs met, go to a wider circle, so it might be to your friends, wider family. So you start learning habits of behavior to get your needs met. That might be showing off, it might be being a bit needy, you know, whatever it is, we're all completely different and we learn different habits and it depends on our sort of family cycle, family unit. But it keeps going and going and going, and then we get to relationships with, you know, romantic relationships. How do I get my needs met there? And then we develop a set of habits. You know, how do I get attention from boys? And we attend, you know, there's some habits there. And they just keep forming and forming and forming, but they're ingrained in us. And then how do I get my needs met at work? How do I get that promotion? You know, that might be a different set of behaviours. And what we're brilliant at is putting on different masks for different people to get our needs met. So we're chameleons. We just do, and then it's like, who am I? I'm this to my boss. I'm this to my partner. I'm this to my mum. You know what I mean? Which person actually am I? Or am I this whole set of masks? Or is there someone underneath that is underneath all these masks? So I just think it's just really important to just really acknowledge that and ask those questions. And it's fine if you need to be a certain way at work because you work in a very masculine dominated office, or you work in an office where, do you know what I mean? There could be a million different reasons why you wear a different mask at work or at home.
Like when I was doing pharmacy, you had to be professional.
Exactly. This is my professional mask. That's, and then right, you're at home, this is my stupid mask, you know, whatever. Or this is my comedy mask because people laugh when I tell a joke and that makes me feel good. Which is all fine. None of it's wrong. But it's just about, I suppose, yeah, like, who are you underneath all those masks? Have you identified onto one mask versus the other, and why is that? Is that the one that you really want to, you know, is that the one that you really want? Who are you when you're on your own, I suppose, or with the people you really trust? Yeah, I don't know, I just find it quite interesting. Question, because it was a good one and it got me just going off on a tangent. So what lights you up about what you do?
I think for me, because the longer I do this, the more I realize that everything is connected, and it's very exciting to kind of learn not only that, hey, look, I have a math equation that shows you seriously everything is connected. It's like, oh yeah. So then you learn that, and then you think, well, I want other people to know this, because how much would this impact other people's lives? Just to really kind of internalize that we're all connected. And I think it's just one of those things that, I don't want to say if people only knew, they would be so much happier, but I think that having a real sense of our place in the universe as part of the universe. And I'm talking both on a metaphysical aspect, that so many things that we do wrong to ourselves, like bad habits, the way we treat other people, the way we treat other beings, everything would change dramatically just by internalizing that alone, if you really, you know, felt it in your heart rather than just thought it in your head. And I also like to talk about space weather, but I won't won't go off on that one. But yeah, it's just the real actual connection, both spiritually and scientifically, that gets me excited when I can meld the two, science and spirituality. But yeah, I could go on and on and on and on and on, talk about quantum physics and all of that stuff, but it's all just numbers, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting because I think we're in a crisis. I think our planet is in a crisis, and that's what you were saying about if we just understood our connection, we would just be better people, we'd be nicer to each other, we'd make different decisions for the planet, for us, for, you know, everything. Yeah, everything stems back to that, I think. And I think from when I talk about really going inside and doing inner work, that's my sort of little way of trying to make it better, you know, because I think if people, yeah, you sort of like just were so authentic. Imagine if everyone was just their authentic self. There was no layers of bullshit, no kind of, oh, no greed, no, all the things that make us behave badly as humans, like competition, you know, I think the power struggles, you know, all the things that contribute to us, you know, just trying to take from each other, take from the world. You could go into it into such deep levels. But if we all just came from a place of absolute sort of, you know, love for each other and can be like that, because even connection must be love, right?
It doesn't have to be.
No.
It can be just acknowledging that this person is part of everything else, mm-hmm. and you don't have to like them.
Yes, but you are me, essentially. Like you've had a different experience, you've had, you know, you've had different conditioning, but we are the same, essentially.
It also makes you more kind of instinctively empathetic to everyone. I mean, people that cut you off in traffic, just little kind of random things, even things you see on the news, even though I don't watch the news.
Same.
But having that awareness, you don't have to love everybody. You don't have to love everything. But I guess love can be defined in many, many ways, but just to understand that we're all connected in some way. It automatically gives you this respect, appreciation, and a real sense of understanding that you wouldn't otherwise have if you didn't believe that.
Yeah, but that causes a ripple effect, right? So say your example of if someone cuts you up in traffic, you know, you could get angry, you could beat the horn, you could have a row. But that then ripple effects onto that person who's then angry and acts in a bad way. And then potentially, you know, both of you go off to your respective places angry. And maybe you snap at another person. And maybe your decision that you make is based on the fact that you're angry rather than the fact that you're just, you know, living in peace. And that then has a ripple effect on something else. It all kind of like keeps going out and out. So the bad behaviour, that one tiny bit of bad behaviour can ripple out onto the whole world, essentially. So if you're coming from a place of understanding, connection, maybe love's not the right word, compassion maybe, rather than love, I don't know.
I think if we use love in a non,
yeah, non-romantic kind of way. Yes, then that, hopefully, that has a ripple effect. So you go, no, after you. And they go, oh, that was nice.
Yeah, but we're in England, everyone does that.
No, they don't. Oh my gosh. No, in London. You're in the nice part.
Yeah, I don't do cities anymore.
No, well, okay, not London specifically. I love London. Disclaimer. But yeah, the city where people are stressed and people are under more pressure. Unfortunately, they're not polite. You know, I've just met someone who, anyway, it's a big story. But the ripple effect, that can be the other way as well. So if we're, you know, I think I was so blinkered when I was living in a city, I'm going to say a city now so I don't badmouth London, but living in a city, I was so blinkered as to my situation, my stress, my, you know, my shit that I had to deal with. I would never acknowledge neighbours. I would never be nice to, I wouldn't even take the time to probably be nice to someone in a shop. It was just transaction, go. I haven't got time, you know. And, you know, that's a ripple, you know, I feel like that would cause that, my energy frequency and vibration would definitely affect everyone else around me. Whereas now, if I acknowledge someone or say thank you so much, oh, you look lovely, where, you know, that's sort of just a tiny bit of effort, 5% effort. That's all it takes, a little 5%. That's going to make someone just feel a bit better and they're going to have a better day. I'm not saying I'm going to change their day, but you know, if everyone did that, that's got to have a ripple effect around the world. If everyone said, no, I'm not going to I don't know, you know, I'm not going to overconsume to make myself feel better because I've got a void that I'm going to fill, because actually I'm quite content. That has a ripple effect on that whole industry and the people that are, you know, being taken advantage of in other countries. You know, you could go on and on about that. But I think it's right. I think, well, that's what you're saying, with that kind of understanding of we are all one. If I make this bad decision here, you know, the pain can be felt miles away in a different country. How different would our decisions be in our actions?
Even just day-to-day living.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about, if you're aware, if you have that kind of deep awareness, people wouldn't be throwing garbage out of their cars or, you know, getting too close to people in traffic or something along those lines.
Just tiny things, but then that accumulates into something huge. So, yeah, everyone throwing, we say rubbish, out the window. Everyone's doing that because they just don't care. They just don't care. What's that doing to our planet and therefore to us? Like, we're only really hurting ourselves, but because we don't care and because we're so insular and just tunnel vision with what's going on with us in that one particular moment, like, I just need to get rid of this and I don't care about the consequences. You know, that has just massive consequences.
even if you do something like that and you're not technically conscious of doing it or that you shouldn't or whatever, there's something in the back of your head that knows. There's got to be something. I don't think that nobody ever considers even for a millisecond that maybe they shouldn't throw that bag of trash out the window.
They just really don't care.
But also, so because they already have that little inkling of a knowledge within them, not only are they hurting the external world, that's also reverberating on their internal world.
Mm.
It can't be good for them either.
Yeah. Yeah, negative behavior has to affect you negatively as well. Definitely.
It does.
Yeah. Because if you're going around through, like, shouting at people, getting really angry all the time, I mean, A, your cortisol levels are high, so you're going to give yourself an early heart attack. Do you know what I mean? There's physical, as well as kind of energetic and emotional repercussions, there's also physical repercussions. So, but yeah, I suppose everyone has the choice to live how they want to live. If you want to go around being angry all the time and shouting, that's up to you. But yeah, there are consequences. And yeah, I suppose, like, understanding that would be very helpful.
It would be, but it's not. It sounds simple, but it's not easy.
Yeah. Oh no, absolutely. Because if it was simple and easy, then
everyone would do it.
Everyone would do it and we wouldn't be in the state we're in today.
Thank you for joining the journey here on Resonant Space.
I've been Joe.
And Heidi.
And if you want to contact us, you can get in touch at our email address, info@the-humblewarrior.co.uk. So just if you have any questions about any episodes, if you have any topics you'd like us to explore, or if you are a practitioner yourself and would like to come on the podcast and discuss a subject, that would be amazing. So yes, feel free to get in touch. Thank you.